in high places. Friends in high places. Responsible living. Did I say responsible living? Yes. Responsible living with its varied conditions and circumstances, responsible living keep presenting us with situation in our lives where we forever need to have the right person in the right place. As adults, we daily meet upon and have to confront situations where we need to find the appropriate person to help us deal with the various challenges that come our way. And this is the way it is for most of us adults. We usually need somebody to help us address this problem or that problem. We usually need to find somebody, the right person in the right place. A lot of time it might be a lawyer, a lot of time it might be a doctor, a lot of time it might be a politician, a lot of times it might be an influential person. A lot of time it might be a justice of the peace, a minister of religion. It might be a person with ready cash. That's right. Sometimes your back is against the wall where there is a debt that must be paid, not next week. Today. And you miss all the rest you should have gotten last night because you're wondering, where am I going to find that money? And then something happens that you think of a friend or a neighbor or a relative that you feel you can run to. I have had to face situations like that. I remember years ago, my rent due, and I had to drive from here to Clarendon to my grandmother. That's right. What are we preaching on? Friends in high places. And as I've said, life keeps throwing at us these varied situations that we need somebody or some assistance to help us deal with these situations. It is for this reason we need the right person or persons in the right place. If my memory serves me right, I remember a passage found in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, chapter 5, and verse 6 to verse 7. Let us hear that passage. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7.
Humble yourselves.
Humble yourself.
Therefore, under the mighty hand of God,
under the mighty hand of the Almighty God,
that he may exalt
Wait. Humility is a commendable quality, especially when we are dealing with the great I am. So here Peter is writing to Christian. He says, humble yourself under what kind of hand?
Under the mighty hand.
Mighty hands of the Almighty. Listen him now. Read.
That he may exalt you in
due
time.
That he may exalt you
in due time.
In due time. But listen now, the other verse.
Casting all your care upon
what?
Him. Casting all your
we
care.
We do have cares. May I? Just this morning, as I was getting ready, or about to get ready for church, listening to the news, it was telling how mental problem is on the rise. Amen. The professional who have to deal with those situations is saying to us that they are dealing with more men and women with mental problem than previously, just this morning. But here is Jesus Christ telling us that whatever the care might be, are we there? We must cast some of our care on him. Did he say all? Because Jesus Christ cares. Wait. It's not only that Jesus Christ cares. Jesus Christ is able. And may I? When our professional out there telling us the challenge that they have dealing with men and women with mental situation. Brothers and sisters, I have some news for you. If more men and women learn to trust in Jesus Christ, we would not have so much of these mental situations. Because even people who sometimes come attend church don't learn to trust in God. That's right. Because you see, a lot of time, God, he's so far. We go to church because my neighbor go to church. No, you should go to church because it is the right thing to do in the sight of God. That's right. And I repeat that if more men and women learn to trust in the Almighty God, they would be able to deal more successfully with their challenges. That's right. But what it says, brother, verse 7, casting?
Casting all your care upon
him. Casting all your cares
upon him.
Upon him.
For he careth for you.
Because he cares for you. Are we there? Ladies and gentlemen. Friends in high places. And it is usually that the person that we run to or feel can help when our backs are against the wall, it's usually either that man or woman's character, the person's work, the person's knowledge, the person's reputation, the person's authority, the person's expertise, the person's financial ability that make us feel that the person can help. But watch here. While that is so, there are many areas of life in which and for which need may never arise for you or for me to have need of a friend in that or that particular area. But I come back to the point that for most of us, sometime or the other, we are going to need a friend in the right place. And Jesus Christ has just reminded us that he is there if you will make him your friend. But watch here, watch here, watch here. Jesus Christ has condition upon which he becomes our friend. Very important. Wait, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, you see, sometimes we treat God, we start to act like you can just galanso with God. No, you can't just galanso with God. The Almighty God is a God of order in every aspect of life. Did you know that I'm here preaching? Do you know that the Almighty God instruct me not to come and speak in his name just what I want or what I like or how I feel? So he told me in the book of Peter, chapter 4, I think, that if any man speak, let him what? Speak as the oracle of God. That is what God declared. So for me to come here and preach politics and my opinion and how I see things, while that is done from a lot of pulpit, we are not permitted to. I'm on the point that we are dealing with a God who is a God of order. Here's another thing, and I'm a kind man, so I'm giving. Here's another thing. Did you know that when we come to worship, we don't come to be entertained? Mr. Mitchell, I've always thought that when I go to worship, I go for some entertainment. And this is why, Mr. Mitchell, I sat here wondering, is it poor or no poor? Why no can buy a piano or an organ? No, you see, worship is not about the worshiper. It's about God. But here's another point. You or I do not guess how to worship God. He reveals it here, how we are to worship him. So when we come to worship, we come to give God that which is his due. When you and I come, say we're going to worship, and we are thinking what we would want done in worship to satisfy our desire and whatever, then we are off rock. When we set out to come to worship, we must set out to get our minds, our thought in the right frame of mind. So, and set out to acquaint ourselves with what we must do as prescribed by God and how we must worship God. God is a spirit, and anyone who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm just dropping that by. I love to give brata. And you town people know much about brata. Country person like me know a lot about brata. So yes, God is a God of order. When you're dealing with God, you don't just do what you want. In fact, in the passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and the last verse, let me just hear that passage, 1 Corinthians 14, the last verse, or the last two verses.
Let all things be done decently and in order.
Everybody hear that? That Paul, great apostle of Christ, wrote that to the church of Christ at Corinth. Not some things. Let all things be done how? Decently and in order. Because we deal with a God of order. Let me just drop this there since I'm on the point. Even in nature, you have order. Because God is a God of order, that's why we can have internet service. Mr. Mitchell, what does that do with this sermon? It's because there is order in physics and our chemistry, why the scientists learn how different things work in those areas and able to put the internet and cell phone and all that to our use. The laws that govern these things are made by God, but men and women are just discovering how these things work. That's why there is improvement in medicine. The doctors, the researchers are now finding out biologically how our body functions, because the great almighty God is a God of order. Ladies and gentlemen, God's revelation that never misleads. God's revelation informs us that a time of need for every man and every woman is coming. That's why you need a friend in high places. Mr. Mitchell, I didn't get the point you just made. That the Almighty God in his revelation, and God's revelation never fails. It always comes through with whatever it says. And God in his word, in his revelation, informs us that a time of need for every man and every woman is coming. Wait, you see? A time of need is here now. Are we all there? A time of need. A time of need is here now. Now, right now. Wait. You and I do not need Jesus Christ next week. We need Christ now in our lives. We need to have the Almighty God on our side now. But there is a greater time of need coming. That's right. Look at the passage of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. In fact, let us hear from verse 14 to 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest.
That is passed into the heavens.
Wait. This high priest is not referring to any man or woman on earth. It's referring to Jesus Christ who have gone back to heaven. And the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews is saying to the Christian in Judea to which or to whom the book of Hebrews was written, say that we must remember that we have an high priest. Wait. He's gone to the right place. Where is gone?
He's passed into the heavens.
What is the title of the lesson today, brother? That we need friend where? In high places. Jesus Christ has gone to the right place. Read on.
Let us hold fast our profession.
Because we have such an high priest as Jesus Christ, who have ascended back to heaven, let us do what?
Hold fast our profession.
The word fast means hold tightly to our
profession.
Profession, that is the biblical truth that we claim to believe, let us hold tightly to it. But read on.
For we have not a high priest.
That's right, we have not an high priest.
Which cannot be touched.
That cannot be touched.
With the feeling of our infirmities.
Wait, Mr. Mitchell, what does that mean? It means that Jesus Christ, who is our high priest, our mediator, Jesus Christ understands our problem. He knows our situation. And that qualifies him to be able to deal with our situation. The high priest we have is not so isolated and detached and inexperienced that he doesn't know what we are going through as we try to live this life. Jesus Christ knows. Read on.
But was in all points.
Jesus Christ was in some points.
All points.
What happened in all points?
Tempted like as we are.
Somebody didn't hear that, brother. What happened?
But was in all points. Tempted like as we are.
Whatever your challenge, whatever you are going through, Jesus Christ knows it. That's why he's able to sympathize with us and to give us the support we need if we take our situation and our lives to him. Read on.
Yet without sin.
You see, that is key. That is important. That's all the more reason he can go to the Almighty God in person and make intercession for us. What verse are you?
Verse 16.
Verse 16 ends. Let us hear it.
Let us therefore.
Let us therefore, as a result of having a person like Jesus Christ in our corner, let us
come boldly unto the throne of grace.
Wait. Let us do what? Let us do what?
Come boldly.
Come. Wait. You know, as simple as this word is, we can easily just bypass it. But what God's word is, you have to come. You have to make a move toward Jesus Christ. That's right. You have to come to Christ for what he offers. Are we on come? Huh?
Boldly unto
the throne. Wait, take time with me, brother. I'm very... let us do what? Come. You're reading from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. And since we are on come, you must come. You see, we can't just go on living the way we want, doing the what we want, thinking the way we want, and speak. No. Our lives have to be conformed to the will of Jesus Christ. But Brother Mitchell, you talk like you were going to comment on the word come. Run with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, from verse 22. Let me hear verse 22 and 23. Brother, we are dealing with come. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 and 23.
Let us draw near.
Wait. Let us do what?
Draw near.
Isn't that on the subject of coming? Everybody get it? We must come. All that Jesus Christ is, the great high priest that he is, for you to benefit from who Christ is and what Christ can do for you, you have to come to him. But here, the same writer that wrote Hebrews is the same one. The brother is reading from chapter 10, verse 22. Let us hear it.
Let us draw near.
Let us draw near.
With a true heart.
Wait. You see, wait. He's telling us how to come. Are we all there? He's telling us how to come. Did I not tell you that God is a God of order? And we cannot just galang so when you're dealing with God. So the Almighty God is asking us to come. Use another word that can be used instead of come is draw near. Yes, but you see, the passage that the brother is reading now is the Almighty God through his inspired writer is telling us how to come. Let us hear how to come.
With a true heart.
We must come to God with genuine heart. That is our mind, our thinking must be genuine because you are dealing with a holy God. So we must come with a what, brother?
A true heart.
True heart.
In full assurance.
We must come with faith and confidence. That's what it called. Full assurance. Read on.
Having our hearts sprinkled.
Our heart must be sprinkled from an evil conscience. That we must come to God with a clear conscience. Read on, brother.
And our bodies washed with pure
water. Wait. Ooh. Our bodies must be? What? Wait, Brother Mitchell, and God no say me get a bath every day. Where am I telling me if you wash for? You see, that word wash there is not referring to the bath that we get in our shower bathtub. That wash there is dealing with baptism. Huh? That's right. And what, remember, the passage of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, 23. Huh? That's where you have just read. That passage is telling men and women that in coming to the Almighty God through Jesus Christ, we must come God's way. And among the things we must make sure they are in place, we must come to God with sincerity. We must come to God with genuine desire to please him. We must come to God with our bodies washed. That is referring to baptism. Huh? That is referring to the same thing you and I read in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22 and verse 16. Quick, brother.
And now, why tarriest thou?
Now, why wait?
Arise.
Get up.
And be baptized.
And?
Be baptized.
And?
And wash away thy sins.
Everybody hear that? Did you know that baptism is essential to salvation? That is, well, Brother Mitchell, my church, this and... Okay, your church may have this, and we are not talking about the church. We are talking about the Almighty God. Because on the day of judgment, It's not your church or my church going to judge us. It's the word of the gospel. And according to the word of God in the gospel, a man or a woman must be baptized to be saved. What the brothers just read here in Acts of the Apostles 22 and verse 16. Why wait? Get up and be baptized and wash away thy sin. You know to whom that was said? Jesus Christ. To be greatest witness. Paul. This was Paul's conversion. Before he got converted and began to preach, the preacher who converted him was telling him to get up. He was there praying, and the preacher interrupted his prayer as if it were telling him, "I no time now for praying. Now is for you to submit your life to Christ. Get up. Get baptized. Wash away your sin." You remember where we're coming from? We are coming from come. That you must come to Jesus Christ, that great priest. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 22, 23, it is telling us how you must come. And all these passages you can read when you go home. Wait. May I? Ladies and gentlemen, let me hear verse 16 again.
Let of Acts.
Well, you have given me Hebrews chapter 4. I want 16 from chapter 4 again.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace.
Take time with me now. Take time with me. You see, that's what we're dealing with. Come. You have to come to Jesus Christ. You have to change place. Mm-hmm. Let us come home.
Boldly.
Read.
Unto the throne of grace.
Unto the throne of grace.
That we may obtain
mercy.
Wait,
take time, brother. Take time with me here. Take time with me now. Now, you remember I was pointing out that the Almighty God, in his revelation and God's revelation, God's word never fails. The Almighty God in his word tells us that there is a time of need coming. Wait. Now is a time of need. But there is a greater day of need coming. We must make sure that we are on Jesus' side. Before death or accident or sickness take us home to eternity. Because there is no repentance in the grave. Let me hear that again.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace,
mm-hmm,
that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
That we may do what?
Obtain mercy.
Obtain mercy.
And find grace.
Wait, Wilson. You notice, it's good for us to make a friend before you need a friend. And what it is saying, there is no if and but that there is a day coming. What the inspired word of God is telling us to do is secure our friendship with Jesus Christ now. Don't wait. Remember, you know, we need Christ now. And as I get to where I'm going to wrap up the lesson, The point is, while we need Jesus Christ now, there is a greater need coming. Form a friendship of obedience with Jesus Christ now. The passage the brother has just read in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 is saying that. Don't wait until that desperate moment comes. Ladies and gentlemen, you might have seen it, or we have seen differently. I have seen men and women, right? You stand around their sick bed many times. My very sister, the one that I follow, seriously ill. At the very time I was up in New York to do a gospel meeting, and she realized she was seriously ill, she called me and told me to come to the hospital. And she wanted me to speak to the doctor, for the doctor to confide in me what her situation. She said, you don't have to tell me, but you can phone the other brothers and sisters. I have been around people who are really country people, say traveling, they are traveling. You know, and country people, you are going home to eternity. My point is, brothers and sisters, we have seen that. Please, don't wait, may I? Until those moments come. May I just drop this back? Do you know that there are certain aspects of God's will that you cannot carry out on your sick bed? Amen. That means it's working. So let me repeat. Do you know that there are certain aspects of God's will that you cannot carry out on your sick bed? Sometimes we are so as to get baptized, you cannot do it. But Brother Mitchell, God is a merciful God. Yes, He is. Probably more merciful than we realize. But do you know what the Bible teaches me? That when a man or a woman have thrown away dozens of opportunities God gave them to become Christian, and they threw away, they trample on those opportunities, and then when that last opportunity comes that God takes away, they feel that God is going to save them even though they were unable to do the initial thing that God asks as condition for salvation. No, the Bible said, that's why the Bible said that there are many going to call on Him and say, Lord, have I not done this in Your name and in Your name done this? Men and women will be disappointed on the day of judgment. So what lies in your power to do now to get in Jesus' friendship, to become one of His children? I encourage you to do it. There is a day of need coming. Ladies and gentlemen, look, I just reached half of the lesson, but I'm going to wrap up within the next 5 minutes. True. We have all heard about the wise man Solomon. Those of us who feel we have all the time in the world to put God off, and at the last moment he will save us. No, many men and women are going to throw away the opportunity that God gave them. And this is why the passage in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 that was read tell us that we must cast our lot with Jesus Christ now before that great time of need comes. But notice, it's like the wise man Solomon is saying, don't wait until that desperate time of need come to make a friend with the Almighty God. Do it now. In the book of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 and 25, it's like Solomon is telling us that God is calling you now. Let us hear it. From Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 and 25.
Because I have called.
Because I have called.
And he refused.
And you what?
Refused.
Did you know the Almighty God is calling you now? Every time you hear a true message from God's word, it means that the Almighty God has come within your circle through his word, calling you to himself, calling you because he loves you, he cares for you, and doesn't want any of us to end up in the eternal hell with Satan. Start at verse 24 again.
Because I have called.
Because I have called.
And ye refuse.
And you refuse.
I have stretched out my hand.
God in grace and mercy says, I've stretched out my hand.
And no man regarded.
And you did not regard God's mercy and grace.
But ye have set at naught.
You have set at naught.
All my counsel.
All this counsel.
And would none of my repute.
You would not respond to God's reproof. That's verse 25. Yes. Let me hear. Verse 26 or 27, I will laugh.
I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh.
Wait. You notice he didn't say if it comes. You know this? Your calamity going to come. Your fear going to come. God says, because when he was reaching out to you by the preaching of his word, when the grace of God was available to you, you brush it one side. The Almighty God is, through the wise man Solomon, telling us that a day of need going to come. And God says he's going to laugh. Read.
I also will laugh at your calamity.
Mm-hmm.
I will mock when your fear cometh.
Mm-hmm.
When your fear cometh as desolation.
Mm-hmm.
And your destruction cometh.
Mm-hmm.
As a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you.
So ladies and gentlemen, a day of need. We need Christ now. But a greater need, day of need, is coming. Make friendship with Jesus Christ now and cement that friendship throughout the rest of your life. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's one thing to become a Christian. It's another thing to develop the Christ-like character. That takes time. The time that we remain faithful to Jesus Christ. Look at Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 and 7. Quick, brother, I need to finish this lesson.
Seek ye the Lord While he may be found.
When?
While he may be found.
You have always thought that God will always be there for you? Read it again, brother.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found.
The implication is there are times that you may be seeking him and he might not be found. That's the implication. Read on.
Call ye upon him while he is near.
Did you know, I've said it already and I say it again. Every time you hear a true message from God's word, it means that the Almighty God has come within your circle through his word. That's the best time for you to respond to his grace and mercy. When he has come within your circle. Now is that time. As we wrap up, I wish I had time to share with you where Job wish he had a friend in high places. That's right. Job, let us hear that passage, brother. Job chapter 9, 32 and 33. Quick.
For he is not a man as I am.
Everybody here knows about Job, huh?
For he is not a man.
Take time with me, brother. We are closing. I run to this passage, even though, as I've said, on the part of the lesson, hopefully you'll be come back to hear the Job went through, we use the term, hell bear head. Job went through suffering, problem, stress, losing his children, losing his wealth. And things like that happen in life. And Job was concerned, what brought all this catastrophe, turmoil, stress on him? He could not see in his life wrong that he has done. But he was going through it. His wife asked him to curse God and die. She hated to see him in that state. And at this occasion, what verse? It's chapter 9.
Verse 32.
Yes, let me hear it, brother.
For he is not a man,
mm-hmm.
as I am, that I should answer him.
You see, answer here means I would like the chance to for me and God to talk. I would like God face me and tell me, what have I done? But Job says, he's God, I'm a man. There's no way we can get together. He was thinking of the holiness of God. Read, brother.
And we should come together
mm-hmm.
in judgment.
Uh-huh.
Neither is there any daysman.
Wait, you're here? Brother Mitchell, what does he mean, daysman? He need a liar. The daysman there is a mediator, a come between. Job says, there is no dayman.
Betwixt us.
Betwixt us. I wish there was somebody who can deal with God in his holiness and deal with me as a human being. Job says, there is no such person that I can call. You know, for us, thank God, we have Jesus Christ as the mediator between God and man. But you must come to Jesus Christ. Don't put it off. There's so much in this lesson to share. Ladies and gentlemen, I must close. You know, I wanted to point out that you need Jesus Christ now, not only at the coming judgment. When we pick up on this lesson, I will go down some 6 points. You need Jesus Christ now to deal with your prayers and requests. But Mr. Mitchell, I can pray to God anytime. No, sir, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that man in his sinfulness cannot approach God. All over the Bible, Old and New Testament teaches that. So I wish I have time to show you that you need Christ in your life now for you to be able to pray effective prayer. You need Jesus Christ in your life now for daily cleansing. Daily cleansing. You do not just get cleansing because you pray to God. Because if you are not in a covenant relationship with God, the privilege of prayer is not yours. You know, I need to say that again, that you can remember and call us for us to explain that. If you are not in a privileged relationship with God, prayer is not for you. Effective prayer is available only in Christ. Gosh, I wish I have time to explain that. I need Jesus Christ with me now to go with me as I travel the ups and downs of life. I need Jesus Christ now to fix up my prayer and make them presentable to God. The Bible tells us that we do not even know what to pray or how to pray. But that when a child of God, a Christian, pray, the Holy Spirit take our prayer and fix it up and make it presentable to God. But that is available only in Christ. We need Jesus Christ now for our daily cleansing. Mr. Mitchell, are there passages in the Bible, plain passages? Yes, but we don't have time to give them now. We need Jesus Christ to help us get ready for that memorable day of judgment. Jesus Christ loves you and cares for you. To the extent that Jesus, the Almighty God, gave his only begotten Son to pay the price for your sin and my sin that we could not pay for. Right now, what God asks you is that you repent of your sin if you believe. Yes, I said if you believe. Because did you know that when you believe the right way, your faith drives you to obey Christ? So the Bible speaks about the obedience of faith. That is the obedience which comes out of proper belief. You can do that today. In less than a minute or two, the brother going to come and sing a song to the glory and honor of Jesus' name. It's a good chance for you to respond to the grace of God, to the love and the mercy of the Almighty God. I'm here saying that seek a friend in Christ before you need a friend. And in fact, you need a friend now. But there's a time coming you're going to need him even more. Now is the chance given to you by Jesus Christ. Don't wait until sickness or tragedy. In many cases, those times are too late. Jesus Christ says, today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. In love, in grace, in mercy, Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Did you know that the Almighty God created you with eternity in mind? What do you mean, Mr. Mitchell? God created you and me to live forever. So you and I are going to live forever, either in the eternal heaven, in peace and happiness and bliss, or the eternal hell because we have rejected Jesus Christ.